We're talking about a pan-European project that involves 10 universities from different countries such as Ireland, Spain. We have a university from Italy, from Germany, from Czech Republic. So it's a project that has really at its core understanding how remote working is changing labor, but also changing the life of workers and the economic trajectory of territories across Europe.
From the research conducted so far, how is it affecting the labor force?
I should first of all say that we are now in year three, so we are now at a stage where we can start disseminating some results because we have collected enough amount of data to kind of understand how this complex picture is really affecting workforce on the one hand, and again, rural or second-tier communities. So let's start from your question. How is it affecting workers? Well, certainly we know that remote working has given amount of flexibility and freedom to workers. We have strong data showing that one of the category that has benefited the most from flexible working arrangements are women. So women across the continent are enjoying more free time and are enjoying more free time to dedicate to families and personal life activities. So this is one result that is not too surprising, to be very honest with you, but certainly our research confirmed an hypothesis that was circulating in our research group even before we started the project.
Have you come across particular issues which are being highlighted as part of this research? I mean, from recent news reports, even here in Ireland, we see there are a lot of companies that are insisting on that 5-day week return to the office, and workers are really trying to hang on to that remote working.
You're right. And so if I first say that women and other categories, of course, it's not just about women, are among those who benefited from remote working, there's a dark side of the story. First of all, let me point out that some of the workers we interviewed, and we have conducted extensive interview in a variety of places, and in Ireland, those places include Carlow and Laois, the two counties, and also thanks to my colleague Paul Ryan, who is from Portlaoise himself and help us collecting data around Portlaoise and around Carlow. So what are the dark sides I was talking about? Well, first of all, one important element here for us to consider is career progression. Yes, workers have been given more flexible time and more flexible arrangements, but some of them lament that career progression might be more difficult because they don't go to the office every day. And the second element that we need to keep in mind in our ongoing discussion about remote working is that remote working, we don't know what is the future of the specific economic, socioeconomic phenomenon. As you rightly say, there are two streams now, let's say, fighting each other. One stream is the stream led by labor, workforce, employees who are trying to protect their rights, and they do want to remain flexible in their working arrangement. And on the other hand, we've been witnessing in the past few months a stronger call for taking workers and employees back to the office, not just in the private sector, but also in the public sector. And this is specifically why we're having this 2 days meeting in Dublin, because Ireland, we believe, is now the forefront of a major transformation. It's one of the countries in Europe where this battle, let me use this strong expression, perhaps, it's now more visible, right? Ireland is at the intersection of what might become a future of labor if remote working will remain even as a form of hybrid working arrangement, or it might show that the era of remote working will diminish and employees and workers will be called back to the office, which is an outcome that we cannot rule out.
Certainly some elements of the research surprised me when I was reading through it prior to this interview, particularly, you know, we're often given the narrative that remote working is very beneficial economically for rural communities in particular, like those counties in the Midlands that you've mentioned. But as it turns out, a lot of workers are actually working in their homes with little economic benefit to those particular regions that they're in. And also, we previously believed maybe it was an opportunity for people to move back from the likes of Dublin back to the Midlands and other counties. But that doesn't necessarily seem to be the case either, indicative from this research.
That's correct. This is another very important part of our study. See, for all the listeners to your program, I want to say a couple of things to clarify what are the results of this massive project. One key indicator for us is the well-being of individuals. So socially, right, we have found clear evidence that remote working benefits employees, even though with some disclaimers, one being that career progression might be more difficult. Now, if we look at the second major category we studied, which is the economic development of rural communities or second tier places like Carlow and Leash counties, then the situation, the outcome is more difficult than what we could imagine at the beginning of the project. Why am I saying that? Well, first of all, because not many high-skilled people from Dublin or from big tech actually relocated to second-tier rural communities. And why that didn't happen? Well, that didn't happen because very few people these days are given free total remote working. So the most common arrangement is hybrid remote working, which means that you still need to go to the office once or twice or even three times a week. And if that is the case, you can't live too far from your headquarters. And so what we have observed is a phenomenon that has been described before our study as the donut effect. So the donut means that you have a concentration of workers, perhaps remote workers, in the immediate periphery of the city so that they can commute in when it's time. But we haven't really seen a geographic dispersion of highly skilled workers outside the first ring of cities like Dublin. And that's one important consideration, right, for second tier and rural communities. The second important consideration has to do with the communities per se. We have found evidence of workers in Carlow and in Leash who certainly are benefiting from remote working and certainly are spending more time with their families, but they typically work from, let's say, their kitchen or their living room. They don't really use public spaces much, or at least as we could have anticipated at the beginning of our project. And why is that a limit, right? It's not an issue per se, but certainly it's a limitation to economic development. Well, the reason is that if remote workers don't spend time together, don't share ideas, they don't find moments and reason to work together, then they work in isolation. They do deliver work, for sure, for their own business or for the business they work for, but they don't really contribute to the emergence of new innovative ideas or business models, right, in places where innovation is badly needed.
So it sounds like remote really does mean remote in certain circumstances. I suppose finally, based on any research that is conducted in any area, we want to know what impact will this have on future policy. I know your research will continue, but what do you think are the main indicators here for those who are in decision-making positions?
Yes, in fact, the study, the last part of the study is dedicated to our recommendation to policymakers at European level, at national level, but also at provincial or local level. And see, let me summarize our policy's recommendation with one line, with one specific line. And that line is integration more than attraction. Policymakers should focus more on integrating remote workers who are active at local level, right, with local economic activities among them. And that is an activity that has received surprisingly little attention so far. So we know that remote workers populate many local communities, We know that they are benefiting from new working arrangements, but we need everybody, we need to be more conscious that if we want to propel economic development in rural or second-tier communities, we need to take full advantage of the fact that some workers have the possibility to dedicate some of their time to activities that are not only important for social innovation. And here, let me say that we have found strong evidence of people in County Leash and County Carlow contributing to their local community through social activities because they have more time. And that's a great result. Now, what we hope is that some of their free time, right, could be dedicated to local economic development, not just in the form of boosting local consumption, which is one byproduct of their presence in town, but also we hope policymakers will create a net or a system whereby remote workers can find ways to collaborate more among each other and with businesses that are based in rural and second-tier communities. That, I believe, is the big challenge that awaits policymakers in local communities.